We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the Knock Report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
For weeks now, but more prevalently the last few days, we've been getting requests for us to, instead of just picking a topic and hammering it out for an hour and talking to trolls and chat and all this other stuff, that we should do more like some of the more mainstream guys and take a series of stories that are related in some form or fashion. And right now, obviously, the only thing that I've been talking about, with the exception of occasionally talking about COVID lockdowns, which are ridiculous, especially out here in Southern California, where we're back in full lockdown mode, but I digress. The only topic really has been the election. There's one more topic today, apparently, from the chat. C, don't know who C is. I don't even know what that image is, but it's this person's birthday. Male or female, I don't know, but it's their birthday. So happy birthday to C. All right, that's it. I'm not gonna get drawn into the chat. Don't get drawn into the chat. Taking stories and addressing them one by one. And instead of talking about one topic for an hour, talk about multiple topics. So we're going to give it a shot. And keep in mind, this is what we used to do back in the good old days. We switched to this singular focus per episode only recently. So getting back, I guess, into the way things used to be, which is important. Part of conservatism is making sure that we are doing things the way that they should be done. And that's what we're going to start doing today. So first topic, I titled it, anyone who wants to be the quote unquote, the future of the GOP needs to speak out against the coup loudly and immediately. And for this particular one, we're going straight to the National File, nationalfile.com, great site. It doesn't get nearly as much traffic as it should, but on the National File, they're talking specifically about Nikki Haley. Now, I like Nikki Haley, generally speaking. I think that she seems to be a relatively honest politician. About 70% of her policies, maybe 80, are fairly conservative. She does have a, I guess, kind of a neocon, whatever you want to call it, a tilt in her sometimes, but she's generally okay. I know I have a couple of friends who swear by her. I've never met her, never spoken to her, never had any interactions. I think she did a superb job as the United States ambassador to the United Nations. And she, generally speaking, she would promote President Trump's agenda, which is what we want in any bureaucrat, any ambassador. They are an extension of the president. It's not their own personalities that need to come out, other than as a benefit to the United States and to the president of the United States. But she, and it seems that the vast majority of Republicans out there today, are not speaking out, are not acting on voter fraud. This is a coup attempt, and any elected official, their primary responsibility, their oath that they swear is to defend the Constitution. What we're seeing with this voter fraud is a direct attack on the Constitution, this nation, and the people, namely the voters, legal voters. I'm not talking about dead people voting, okay? Their rights, they have other things to be concerned about. You know, if their vote doesn't count, it shouldn't count because they died. I promise I'm going to try to avoid attacking the silly trolls that come, because they will come. And I will acknowledge that every now and then I do get sidetracked by both positive and negative comments. Keep the comments coming. Maybe I'll get to them, but I'm not going to focus on them. Not today. Not anymore. Not anymore. But yes, this is a coup attempt. Okay. Anyone who can look at the evidence and say that is not massive, widespread voter fraud is an idiot. Anyone who can make a decision about this election without looking at the evidence is also an idiot. So that leaves just the people who have taken the time to look at the evidence, make a conclusion that yes, there was clearly, unambiguously, widespread voter fraud. The numbers just don't add up. They don't. And they're not even trying to hide it anymore. They're just saying, they're switching their narrative to saying, oh, yeah, maybe there was, it's too late now. Okay, remember the narrative immediately after the election was, there was no voter fraud. Then within a week, okay, yes, there was voter fraud, but it's not widespread voter fraud. Now it's, well, yes, there's widespread voter fraud, but it may or may not have been able to affect the election, but it doesn't matter because it's too late anyway. People like Nikki Haley, people like Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, who we will talk about here a little bit later. Anyone who is an elected official who, and I'm not just talking about Republicans, I'm saying literally anyone, anyone who can look at this and not move based upon, if you're a Republican, they're not moving because they have a fear of the backlash. They have a fear of mainstream media. They have a fear of potentially something else. Okay, there was a lot of discussion earlier that I had on Twitter where, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, these Republicans like Brian Kemp, you know, who aren't speaking out against voter fraud, they're just anti-Trump. That's not true. Not all of them are. There's a good chunk of them, I believe, who would be fine with going after this, except something is compelling them. I don't know if they've been one of the three Bs, bribed, bullied, or blackmailed, but a lot of them have been. And this is, people say, oh my gosh, that's a conspiracy theory. Folks, this is coming straight from our intelligence community, straight from the DNI, who stated 3 days ago that it is very likely that a good chunk of people on Capitol Hill, in state governments, Democrats and Republicans, are somehow compromised and doing the bidding. In this case, they were referring specifically to communist China, the Chinese Communist Party itself, the CCP. But there are other entities out there. We know it. Okay. If you don't see it, then you're on the wrong show. You should probably go watch mainstream media. I'm sure CNN has somebody cheering on Joe Biden as we speak. But yeah, there are people who are already moving forward, Republicans, who are supposed to be the future of the GOP, and Nikki Haley is one of them. Her presence is relatively strong. Okay, she has a lot of strong attributes that should make her a contender in 2024. Trump wins, Trump loses, doesn't matter. She should be a contender. We have to remember who is actually fighting for the people, who is actually fighting against this coup, and who is fulfilling their oath to defend the Constitution. You don't have to be a elected official. You could be a bureaucrat. You can be a firefighter. You could be unemployed. If you are an American citizen, you have an oath. You have sworn an oath, believe it or not, to defend the Constitution by merit of your citizenship. And as such, this coup must be top priority until they win or until they lose. That's all there is to it. So keep that in mind and remind people, remind Nikki Haley, remind any of these people. And it's not just these people running for office. As I've mentioned multiple times on these shows, there is a plethora of quote unquote conservative news outlets out there who have tucked tail and ran. Okay. Again, bribed, bullied, blackmailed. I don't know. I don't know why the Washington Examiner editors came out with an editorial calling on Trump to concede. This is like 4 or 5 days after the election. It's not like, you know, I can almost understand people just losing hope and saying, oh my gosh, safe harbor, which we'll talk about here shortly. Safe harbor is only 3 days away. It's too late. It's done. It's done. It's over. It's over. Yeah, I can sort of understand that. But these guys, they were like, oh, wow. You know, it's a bummer. Yeah, I guess we move on. It's Washington Examiner. Then you've got the Daily Caller. You've got the editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller getting irate with Brian Stelter from CNN, doing a long Twitter thread explaining that he took exception to the concept of being called a pro-Trump media outlet. The Daily Caller is not a pro-Trump media outlet. As a matter of fact, as evidence of this, the editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller showed many examples of them immediately after the election, calling out and debunking voter fraud. Maybe they changed, maybe because of the mountains of evidence, the Georgia video, the thousands of sworn affidavits, people who are risking jail time, who gain nothing. Are they all lying? Who knows? I know. You probably know too. I would imagine. There's others. It's the media, but it's also the people. There are people that have given up. Not a lot, not nearly as many as we would think, as we will see once we get to the Georgia rally that President Trump had last night. But first, I'm going to attempt from a technology perspective, I'm going to do my best to move on to the next story. Bear with me on this. I'm dealing with a new webcam. It's in the way of my tabs. Everything's just all sorts of messed up. Oh yes. We get to move on to my favorite of these four topics that we're talking about today. Let's go ahead and just turn this one off. We'll throw something else up on the screen here shortly. Democrats know that the election is not over. They do. Mainstream media knows. Contrary to their narratives, they know. They know probably better than a lot of Republicans who have given up. How do we know? There's a few different ways that we can definitely tell. Number one, they're still talking about it. Okay. They tried the let's just move on technique. Okay. Democrats did. Again, mainstream media, big tech, you know, if you're on Twitter or Facebook, you've seen fact checks that say, you know, the idea of voter fraud has been whatever debunked, or it's been, you know, fact checkers call it differently or something. I don't know. It's actually pretty funny. And yes, Stella, throw her chat up here until we get the technology figured out. Yeah, the troll on here is now extremely unhinged. I know those of you who watch the show regularly, you know that I go after the trolls very, very, very hard. I'm not going to go after this particular troll. I'm not going to go after any of the trolls today because, as I've said in the past, people that spend their time going on to these discussions about voter fraud and who throw out unhinged comments, who throw out idiotic arguments, who say, where's the evidence? Show me the evidence. Or who say stuff like you lost, give it up. Okay. Number one, what does that say about them as people to that they're doing this? Okay. What does it say about their lives? I'm saying they don't have a life, but I mean, certainly there's something better to do. Go watch Netflix. You can tell that I don't watch Netflix. Go watch Netflix or something. Do something productive with your life. Instead of just trolling. But number two, you know, it's good that they're here because they will get to hear the truth. And today, the topic is the truth being that President Trump is still in this race. And Democrats are very well aware of it. I want to turn to, just as an example, I want to turn to a tweet. This was a Twitter follower. Every now and then, if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, go to twitter.com/JD Rucker. Every now and then I see tweets from, you know, yes, I'll tweet Rudy Giuliani and some of the bigger accounts, but I do like to find tweets that make sense and retweet them, even people that don't have a ton of followers, such as, here we go. I think we can see this. We should be able to see it now. Richard, who goes by Obi-Wan 5721914. 5721914. No, it's not a phone number. Don't know what the number means. Could mean he's a bot. Who knows? Richard, if you're a bot, or if you're not a bot, and I just called you a bot, I apologize. That's me being just not knowing enough about how things work. We got that great GIF in the bottom that's going to be playing here for a few minutes because I'm going to be keeping his tweet on the screen. The tweet, for those who are listening to the audio version or who aren't paying attention to the screen, the tweet just says, why hasn't Harris resigned her Senate seat yet? This is a great question. Okay, Barack Obama, when he won in 2008, he was a senator. He resigned, I think it was after 8 days after the election, 9 days, could have been less than that. It was shortly after the election, basically after, you know, okay, so things are sorted out. Oh yeah, let's go ahead and resign from my Senate seat since I'll no longer be a senator. It behooves them to resign as quickly as possible to allow the governors of the state, in this particular case, California, to allow Governor Newsom to start inquiring and not officially inquire about placement for Kamala Harris until she resigns. So what's going on here? Is there going to be a legislative session in the Senate that needs to be dealt with? Nope, nothing coming up. Is she going to have to vote for, you know, maybe if in a contested election? Maybe that's what she's hoping for. Maybe she's hoping that as a senator that, or maybe not hoping, but she thinks that if it does come to a contested election that she'll have to vote, and she'd like to vote for herself because the senators in a contested election that does not yield 270 electoral votes for a single candidate, then it goes to the House and the Senate. The House picks the president. The Senate picks the vice president. That's the only thing. I mean, either that or they just don't think that this is in the bag. They're not certain enough that they're going to win this. And they're saying, hold off, don't resign yet. Don't step down just yet, just in case we need you. Just in case things don't work out. Keep in mind, they have been pushing in every possible way to do what's called assuming the sale. Okay, in the sales world, this is what you do when you take actions or say words that are intended to instill into people's minds that it's done. Okay, that whatever they're still considering, maybe not done, you assume the sale. And this is why they pressed forward as quickly as possible to announce and to continuously call Joe Biden president-elect Joe Biden. That is not true. That does not happen. A person does not become president-elect until the Electoral College speaks, votes. Once that happens, then some can argue that it isn't until the votes are counted by the United States Congress before they officially become president-elect. We've seen all sorts of things such as that. We've seen him announcing cabinet picks and czars and you know, holding town halls about coronavirus and, you know, going after dogs out of the shower and trying to grab their tails and breaking his foot or something. We've seen all sorts of things that are intended to make Joe Biden look as if things are done. The ultimate symbol that they have this wrapped up would be is if Senator Kamala Harris were to step down as senator, get the ball rolling to have her replaced in the Senate and prepare to become vice president. But she hasn't. She is not. Again, it took Barack Obama a week and a half. We're over a month since the election, and she still hasn't stepped down. They know that these challenges that they're facing, these challenges from the Trump campaign, these challenges from attorneys with and or outside of the campaign have merit. They know that there is a very good chance that this is going to, at the very least, come down to a contested election, if not an outright win for President Trump. And if that's the case, if it weren't, I assure you, if they really thought that they've got this locked up, she would have resigned 2 weeks ago or last week or yesterday. And she may, perhaps she's going to resign on Monday. Maybe, you know what, just before the, maybe they're waiting for Safe Harbor Day, which is coming up December 8th. And we will talk about that. We will talk about that as well. But as of now, she has not stepped down, and that should tell us a lot. How they're reacting, it's pretty clear. So let's go to the chat real quick. Yes, Bo Elsa says, speak of the devil, because we're going to be talking about Mr. David Perdue, Senator David Perdue, here in a moment, a little bit later. But according to Bo Elsa, Perdue said he looked forward to working with Biden. He has. If for those who aren't familiar with, he did have a weird Zoom interview with Kelly Loeffler was there, and somebody else was talking to them. And he was talking about how, you know, Biden represented the potential to be able to negotiate with Chuck Schumer. You know, number one, it was a political statement because it was saying, hey, guys, you don't need to vote Democrat if you want things to move forward. Well, you know, let's shoot for bipartisanship. Reelect me. And then Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell. He doesn't have to negotiate with Chuck Schumer. They're both given marching orders from the same people. No, sorry, Mitch McConnell. He was basically saying that Joe Biden will work with Mitch McConnell, and they've worked together before, and they like each other, and they'll be able to negotiate, and it won't be like with Trump, who couldn't negotiate with Nancy Pelosi. Look, if Joe Biden may be a good negotiator, I would say that China would argue that he is a very good negotiator, at least for his son. He would probably argue that Ukraine believes that he is a good negotiator. I mean, he was able to get Shokin fired in a matter of hours. You know, just had to withhold $1 billion. Loan, no big deal. I guess that's good negotiating on Joe Biden's part. But the same person, Bo, asks, do you think Trump is still going to win? I'm at about 85 to 90% at this point. The evidence is so overwhelming. It is so overwhelming. The question is whether or not the right people will see it. Now, we do have a very good reason to believe that things are shifting from a legal perspective. I'm not just talking the evidence or the press. The press will still bury it. Big tech, Twitter, Facebook, Google, they will still suppress it. Democrats will still walk around claiming victory, despite the fact that Kamala Harris has not resigned yet. But things are changing. And we saw a very conspicuous move by Justice Samuel Alito, who did accept a petition brought to the Supreme Court, a petition that frankly isn't a very good petition. No offense to Kelly. I know he's doing what he can, but it's not a great petition. I was actually a little disappointed that it got accepted until I noticed that instead of the standard 2 or 3 days with an emergency petition, allowing 2 to 3 days for the defendants, in this case, the state of Pennsylvania, allowing them, say, 3 days to respond to the petition, to get it done, over and done with before the safe harbor date of December 8th, he actually conspicuously set their response date for December 9th. Now, according to the rules, according to Congress, safe harbor is only applicable to states that have resolved their conflicts, resolved all contests. You see where I'm getting at here? I think, and a lot of other people think, that Alito has given us more time. We will see. Could be very wrong. President-elect Stella, love the name, Stella. Sleepy sold us out to China. He is a national security risk. Absolutely. 100%. You know, they were saying that President Trump, you know, that he was a national security risk when he was coming in because, you know, he's talked to Moscow before. He's talked about even opening up a hotel there. Joe Biden, by comparison, has worked in much more nefarious, under the table ways than President Trump ever has. Everything President Trump did was very on the up and up. Joe Biden is on the record multiple times claiming that he had no idea what his son and his brother were doing. No clues. And yet he is in the emails sent by James and Hunter Biden to Chinese organizations, to organizations in other nations. And he acknowledged later, yeah, okay, so maybe I did know something about it. Really? again, I don't want to try to, we're not going to, we're not going after the trolls today. I promise. It's just, I'm just going to keep it low. This is a good way, time to segue. Harrietta. I love the name. That is great names, guys. Great names. I'm very jealous. Harrietta says, "Hi, sir. Trump held a rally today. Technically yesterday, unless you're in Hawaii. If you're in Hawaii, it was today. But for the rest of us, it was yesterday." There's a good question from Matthew Brown that I will bring up in a brief moment. But first, let us first take a drink of coffee. You know, this coffee is great. Founders Blend Coffee. I'm going to keep this short. Founders Blend Coffee. Get it. FreedomFirstCoffee.com. Use, what is it? Promo code. I'm so bad at this stuff. Promo code NOCK. N-O-Q. N-O-Q is the promo code. Plug that in. Get 10% off. It's just regular price, $17.76. Organic, you can get whole bean, good stuff. You can get ground coffee, dark, medium roast. Good stuff. Matthew is from Ohio. And it is a good segue to that topic. So let's try. I don't know if I can even click on it. Matthew, I apologize. I may have to come back to it later because it doesn't. This chat feature, if I click on it, it just shows it up on the screen. I'm going to try to. Oh, never mind. I don't have to click on it. I know exactly what I should have read the link itself. Okay, executive order imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in the United States elections. This is the 2018 executive order that many people have talked about. It's an executive order that basically says that there's a lot that the president can do if he wants to regarding sanctions and the 2018 election. Now, a lot of people said that this is it. This is if all they have to do is demonstrate that there was foreign interference. And according to multiple sources, there has been interference from China and Iran that was in the Georgia lawsuit. There's been allegedly potential interference directly from Venezuela, which Venezuela keeps popping in on this, the whole Smartmatic thing. Dominion voting systems. So the question is, what do you think about this? What I think about it is, I don't think it's necessary. People have talked Insurrection Act. People have talked martial law. People have talked all these different things. Listen, whatever happens, however it goes down, okay, its chances are very slim that it is going to involve President Trump directly. And the reason I say that is because there are avenues that don't require his direct involvement, and it behooves him to not get involved. Okay, people will talk about a stolen election no matter what goes down. Just as we're talking about a stolen election, if and when it gets reversed, and again, I'm at 85 to 90%, if and when it gets reversed, then it will be reversed in a way that the people will, no matter what. I mean, I've said this before, I'll say it a different way. If Joe Biden is caught on secret camera saying, "Hey guys, so, you know, we were able to manufacture approximately 15 to 20 million votes. It did put us over the top. We need to figure out, you know, what are we going to do? How do we cover this up more and, you know, get Xi Jinping on the line and let's figure out, you know, what we have to do for them so that they'll also keep this hidden, you know, from our, well, we don't have to worry about it keeping it hidden from the press, but keeping it hidden from alternative press such as NOCK Report, NOQReport.com. Yeah, if you had that video, then you would instantaneously have USA Today talking about deep fakes, and you would have New York Times saying, "We cannot verify this wasn't an actor." And you would have Washington Post and CNN saying nothing. They would just pretend like it didn't exist. And then they would start saying, stolen election. So it is going to come down to, number one, the Supreme Court, which we have talked about. We will talk about it a little bit even more. The Supreme Court is going to have to get involved in this. And people are saying that they are so reluctant to do it. I saw SCOTUS blog, which is generally a right-leaning site. They cover the Supreme Court very accurately. I love that site, generally speaking. But they say, look, guys, Supreme Court doesn't want to get involved. the reality is this. John Roberts doesn't want to get involved. The three hardcore progressives in the Supreme Court do not want to get involved. But you have five originalists who, it's not a matter of whether Alito or Amy Coney Barrett or Brett Kavanaugh or Neil Gorsuch, okay, or Clarence Thomas. They don't look at this from the perspective of, do we want this or do we not, man? I don't know if we want the press or the pressure and, you know, I'm going to have to, no, they look at, they're constitutionalists. They look at this from the perspective of, if it hits, if it's presented before us, we need to make a decision on it. We need to first decide, do we want to see it? Next, we have to decide, what are we going to do about it? That can and likely, very, very likely will happen. But then there are other angles. There's really four other angles. I'm not going to get into all of them, but I will say, you know, just briefly, number one, you've got the state legislators. Okay, they can and should act. They should. You've got, you know what, I'm actually going to cover that here in a different segment because I think we're actually about to talk about that. But Matthew, yes, I mean, if it can it work? Yeah, absolutely. Will it be used? Probably not. Because, and the reason being is because executive orders, as semi-powerful as they may or may not be, in reality, they are the weakest of government actions, from the federal government at least. Executive orders can be overturned with a signature, with a court order. It doesn't take a lot to stop them or to reenact them, as we're learning with DACA. Legislation is better. Supreme Court rulings on legislation is even better than that because it sets precedent and stifles any further attempts at restrictions. And then, of course, constitutional amendments would be the highest level of power, I guess you could say, emitting from one of the branches of DC. You don't want to use an executive order because it will be destroyed. If we have to, we have to. But we'll see. I don't think that we'll have to. But that brings me to the next topic, which, again, this does definitely align with what we're talking about, what we've been talking about before. I think this is the right one. Let's try it. This comes from a site that, you know what, I haven't really seen a whole lot from this site in the past. It has only been in the last few months that I've really focused on. I know you can't see it very well. You know what? I'm going to turn myself off. You know what? I'm going to put myself in the corner. No, that didn't work. There we go. Okay. Put myself in the corner. Wow, I'm little. That's okay. You guys don't want to see me anyway. 100% fed up. You know, Patty McMurray, I believe she's the editor, owner, and everything like that. This is quickly turning into a great site. You know, there's a lot of, I hate to admit it, there's a lot of really bad conservative sites out there, really bad, you know, that just, they tarnish the conservative message in a lot of ways, just through bad writing, bad decision-making, terrible headlines, okay, 100% fed up. I had thought for a long time that they were one of them until I dug in more and started seeing them linked to from Gateway Pundit, which also I didn't used to like until last couple of years, I'd say, but when I started seeing more from Patty McMurray and her team, it's like, wow, this stuff's actually really good. Good stuff here. And so somebody had mentioned, I forgot who, the mentioned that there was a rally in Georgia yesterday, last night. President Trump spoke. And it's funny, as the headline for those who can't see it on the screen, the headline says, President Trump gives Georgia Senators Perdue and Loeffler, I always pronounce her name wrong. Loeffler. We'll call her Loeffler because I think she's a lefty. But anyway, Loeffler, opportunity to speak at rally. Supporters drown them out with chance of fight for Trump. Now, I've said from the very beginning, I said earlier in the show, and I'll say it again now. I've said it multiple times on Twitter. The best way for them to win, the best way, if they really do want to win, is to attack voter fraud and support President Trump. They have not been. They have not been. I'll read a little bit from the article. Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue were asked to join the Wild Trump tonight. Well, it's pretty editorialized. Okay. Anyway, sorry. It's an editorial. It's okay. The wildly popular President Trump tonight on the platform. where he spoke to a massive crowd of supporters in Valdosta, Georgia. After speaking for over an hour and injecting his support for the critical reelection of Senators Loeffler and Perdue several times over the course of his rally, President Trump asked the candidates to join him on the stage and speak directly to the crowd. Senator Loeffler was first to speak to the crowd, but her message was drowned out by Trump supporters chanting, "Fight for Trump." Kelly Loeffler appeared to be very nervous as the crowd loudly chanted, "Fight for Trump." David Perdue was unsuccessful in his attempt to quiet the crowd by imploring them to stop chanting and was forced to shout over them, telling President Trump that he and Kelly would fight for their seats and were committed to helping him get a fair, square deal in the state of Georgia. And then there's the video. I'll add it later. Point being is this, and this is the important takeaway. Like I've said from the beginning, this is a no-brainer. If they come out and they say there was clear voter fraud, we oppose it, we are going to fight it, we are going to fight for President Trump, they win in a landslide. They will be able to overcome the voter fraud that they are going to face, that's already in the process of being invoked now, because in Georgia, it appears, and across the nation, thanks to mainstream media, thanks to Democrats, thanks to big tech, it appears they're sitting there thinking, huh, you know, wow, we really overextended ourselves for the general election on November 3rd and November 4th, and we're still not busted. Heck, they got video evidence. You got CNN and Washington Post fact-checking that. Yeah, we're going to cheat again. We're going to keep cheating until we have only Democrats. That's the mentality right now. And I don't blame them, because we have not shown them enough resistance to cheating. We haven't. But if Loeffler and Perdue came out with the message that they will fight for President Trump, fight for America, fight for the Constitution, which is, again, their oath, then they would win, even with the voter fraud. I know this. It is true. I lost my train of thought earlier. Let me catch up on some chats while I try to remember exactly where I was going with all this. Let's see. Dutch Hamsbrook says, LOL, using an executive order to overturn the election, you high? No. Like I said, that would be a last resort, and we shouldn't even try it, and it wouldn't work. There are other measures to overturn the election, and to more accurately state it, to bring about the accurate, lawful results of the election, which are currently in the process of being suppressed and dismantled by Democrats, mainstream media, Hollywood, big tech, all of them. Let's see. Liberalism is a mental disorder, as you can clearly see from the trolls. I wish President-elect Stella, I will definitely go back through and try to look at the trolls. Those who've watched these shows before know that I love talking to trolls. But not today. Too much to cover. Harrietta, is this guy a lawyer? Not many lawyers support Trump. Okay. Reality. Trump, as far as attorneys go and lawyers, the legal profession, which used to be very conservative, has shifted to becoming much more liberal, just as the education system has. 50-year plan. We're on about year 62 of it, 63-ish. It was to take over the areas where they thought they would be able to influence the people the most. Higher education, lower education, legal arenas, and mainstream media were their primary targets. And they won in those regards. They beat us. We were busy doing things. They were busy becoming professors to teach people how to do things and eventually get to the point where we're at today, to where they teach them to do it wrong, including being an attorney. I love this one. Oh, this is one. Need to prove the election was fair. LOL. That's what they already did. Again, and I know. I, get sucked in by the trolls every time. Every time. So I'll say it again. If you have not seen, looked at the evidence, read the affidavits as I have, watched the videos as I have, read the lawsuits as I have, and you decide that because CNN and Washington Post say the election was fair, if you base your decision on that instead of actually looking at the evidence, then you are unintelligent. I mean, you're legitimately stupid. If, on the other hand, you look at all the evidence, or even half the evidence, you just read through some of the affidavits, look at some of the videos, read through some of the lawsuits. If then you think that the election was fair and proven to be fair, as Duck Hams Rock in the chat says, then you really are just an idiot. And you're making everybody else around you stupider. No offense. Okay. Let's see. I love my defenders in the chat. They're great. You guys are awesome. Let's see. Matt W. Brown says, I try not to be a conspiracy person, but when I listen to a lot of retired military personnel that really know their stuff, and being former military, it's hard not to understand where they are coming from. And I don't believe it's from a conspiracy angle. I think that Mr. Brown, thank you for your service, by the way. Mr. Brown is probably referring to Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, who we're proud to admit we were the first ones to interview him before the election to talk about Dominion, the scorecard, and Hammer on our show with Freedom First Network. Two mics. Okay. Colonel Mike and Dr. Michael Scheuer, pronounce his name right, they have interviewed Lieutenant General before he became the star that was on OAN and Newsmax and all these other shows. He was on with us multiple times. Trying to brag, just saying, you know, we have been watching this stuff very closely for a long time before the election. We anticipated there would be voter fraud. And before I said it was a 90-10 chance, 90% chance that President Trump would win again before the election, 90% chance that he would win because he's going to get by far more votes. He's going to win in a landslide, I said. 10% is if the principalities and powers, the whoever, the Illuminati or the deep state or George Soros or China or a combination of everybody, they all just come together and are able to pull what we're seeing today. And there's still a 10% chance that he would lose. That was my prediction then. I'm sticking with it now. Ad hominem attack. Ad hominem attack. Just going through the chats now. Let's see. Man, lots of really weird stuff happening. What are your feelings about SCOTUS docketing Act 77 in Pennsylvania? I'll hit you up offline on Facebook, sir. That's not for a show. Because it's not positive, but we'll talk about that later. Not that it's negative. There's a spin to it, and we have to. That's not for public consumption. All right. Wow. Trolls are very active today. But again, like I said, they do have this notion that they have to come on these shows, these discussions. They have to go on Twitter. They have to troll. This is their life. This is what they do. You know, this is their hobby, their pastime, so to speak. At least I hope. Are some of them paid? Sure. I actually had one who confided in me, tried to be a whistleblower after trolling me and after basically getting called out. This was via Twitter. Sent me a private DM saying, look, you know, it's you're right. This is stupid. I got paid to say all this stuff. And before I could reply, they deleted their account. And it wasn't just like a troll account with five followers. This was an account that had thousands of followers. And it wasn't, they could have been suspended. I mean, usually when they're suspended, it'll say account suspended. This one just disappeared. So. And Matthew Brown, knowledge is power. You know, and France is bacon. sorry to ask so many questions. No, don't ever be sorry about asking questions. Keep them coming. I will try to answer them as best I can. But I do want to go ahead and move on from this. Bottom line, back to the topic at hand. You know, they have to come out in very vocal and aggressive support of President Trump. And more importantly, this is their state. Okay. Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue, this is their state that is the epicenter of massive voter fraud. There's more evidence of voter fraud in Georgia than in the other states. Not much. Okay. There's tons of evidence in Michigan, Pennsylvania. There's growing amounts of evidence in Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico. Evidence is there. Not as much, but it's coming out too. Virginia, there was a spurt of evidence 4 or 5 days ago that should call it into question, but I don't think it'll be necessary. It's too hard of a climb. And then Wisconsin, don't even get me started on Wisconsin. Wisconsin is it's an enigma, because one can argue that there is more evidence of voter fraud in Wisconsin than anywhere else. And yet we're seeing very little done there. It is what it is. So I want to put up one more comment, because this is the truth. Brad Hyland, Twitter trolls everywhere. That's the truth. That is the truth. So let's look at this next topic. And I apologize. You know, one of these days I'm going to bite the bullet and get a producer who can actually do this stuff for me. I just don't see a reason for it, because I can, you know, but they're really is. There are reasons for it. Good friend, Konstantinos Rhodaitis, he put out a tweet today that really should be a story of its own. His tweet says, and this was Brian Kemp, the governor, Republican governor of Georgia, said earlier yesterday, as I told the president this morning, I've publicly called for a signature audit 3 times, list the dates, to restore confidence in our election process and to ensure that only legal votes are counted in Georgia. Sort of true, except that calling for it from the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is not enough. And Konstantinos called him out for that. Brian Kemp is trying to fool you. If he wants to, he can call a special session of the state legislature and force the issue via vote without relying on Brad Raffensperger. Call for a vote on Monday. Problem solved. And he is correct. He's correct. There are certain powers vested in, you know, the various positions. We generally, when it comes to elections, most of those powers have been essentially obfuscated by the people who should have those powers, namely the constitutionally dictated state legislators and the state constitution mandated governors. Okay, they have the power, but over the years they have allowed for, call it, the semantics, the logistics, to be handled by lower offices. Okay, but they have the power to do a lot of things. And what governors can do in most situations, especially in the scenarios that we're talking about here with Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, they can call a special session of the legislature. And the legislature can act unilaterally. They can. The Constitution gives them the power over the electors, period. Now, you could say state constitutions might say this and that, and that's true. But again, we're talking about federal supremacy here. And you cannot, with your state, overrule the U.S. Constitution. There are certain times where federalism does come into play, and rightfully so, where states cannot be bullied by the federal government and should not be bullied by the federal government. But in this situation, the Constitution is not bullying. We abide by it. If you don't like it, you don't write it out in your state constitution. You don't write a law that supersedes it. You have to have a constitutional amendment. Otherwise, the Constitution is the Constitution. So the point is this. If the Georgia State Legislature wants to have a special session, they can ask Brian Kemp to call a special session. If he denies, he reveals himself as complicit, period. And then if he continues to deny, then they can call their own special session under very extreme cases. Most states allow for the state legislators to bring themselves into session. And folks, if we've learned anything in 2020, it's that this is a very extreme circumstance. Pennsylvania currently has 76 legislators who are ready to act. Michigan, they've come out and said that they don't want to act. They refuse to act. Arizona, GOP leader has said that he doesn't want to act. But they need to. They must. And again, I go back to what I said earlier. It comes down to the three B's. If they don't act, were they bribed, bullied, or blackmailed? That's the question that they have to answer. Gary Charlton over at YouTube says, people do not understand that we are under attack by a minority of wealthy, godless heathens that have a loud voice. Republicans and Democrats and libertarians need to unite and kill this cancer, literally. Now, I'm not going to advocate calling for violence yet, but I will say that this is not a partisan issue. If this were in reverse, and I can demonstrate this, I can prove this beyond a reasonable doubt, that if it were reversed, such as what happened in 2018, when I was calling for an investigation into what was happening in North Carolina. Republicans won in North Carolina, but there were questions being asked. Was there illegal voter fraud happening regarding 600,000 votes, much fewer votes than what we're seeing here in this election? And against the Republican Party, I called it out. We should. Democrats should be calling this out. They should be demanding that all of this stuff be looked at. The last thing they should ever want is for there to be doubt. Doubt to linger, to persist, to cheat it, to win. If I were a Democrat, I would be saying the exact same thing I'm saying today. Maybe not rooting for Trump. Maybe if I was against Trump, I'd be like, I don't want him to win. But damn it, we need to find out. Because this evidence certainly points to the fact that there was rampant voter fraud that took place. Again, folks, I called out the Republicans in 2018. I would call out the Democrats in 2020. If I were a Democrat, Republican, independent, doesn't matter. This is an attack on the Constitution. This is an attack on the Constitution. If Joe Biden can prove that he won fair and square, awesome. People say, no. Oh, but it's innocent until proven guilty, and the burden of proof goes to the plaintiff. And you folks, you're watching too much Law and Order. These are civil cases. We're talking about an election in which people are asked to certify. Now, to me and to millions of Americans, the notion of certifying an election means that you're putting your name behind the idea that you believe with a certainty, or at least a near certainty, that it is accurate. People say you don't have to prove that the vote was fair. Yes, you do. Okay? In the court of law, you don't have to prove that you're innocent. They have to prove that you're guilty. That is accurate. That is correct. In a criminal case, that is how it works. It's called the burden of proof being that the prosecution must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the person they are charging committed a crime. These are civil suits. There is no prosecution here. There are plaintiffs and defendants. And in a civil suit, they don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. They have to prove they have to demonstrate a preponderance of evidence. In other words, they have to show that it is more likely, if it's 51% likely that the election was, number one, that there was voter fraud, number two, that there was enough voter fraud to change the results of the election. If they can prove that with a 51% preponderance of evidence, then they should win. And yes, the defendants must be able to prove otherwise. Don't give me the whole innocent until proven guilty. Oh, you're constitutional. You don't read the Constitution. No, I just don't watch Law and Order. Okay. I don't get my legal understanding of civil suits and criminal suits based upon what Chris Cuomo tells me. Preponderance of evidence. That's what's required. Not beyond a reasonable doubt. Two different sets of standards, because we're talking about two different types of lawsuits. This is why you've seen, I mean, you guys have seen it before. You know, O.J. Simpson, they could not, you know, some will say the jury was rigged or whatever, but they could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt. Okay, Johnny Cochran and company were able to place a reasonable doubt. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Okay, they got a reasonable doubt and O.J. walked. And then when the civil suit came in, it was a slam dunk. Why? Because the preponderance of evidence demonstrated that he very, 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 very likely killed those two people. Cole Brown Simpson. Civil suits and criminal suits have different, criminal cases have different degrees of evidence. This is why, you know, when Attorney General William Barr came out last week and said, you know, that we have not seen enough evidence of voter fraud to push forward a case, but that doesn't mean we're not looking. Okay. First is he was misquoted. He even came out and said, like, you guys are misinterpreting what I told the Associated Press. I'm not saying that we're shutting down the investigation. We're still looking into it. I'm just saying that as of now, we can't open a criminal case. Why? Because to open a criminal case, you have to have an overwhelming amount of evidence. This is where you have to basically, you know, you got to know where the bodies are buried, because you got to dig up the bodies. That's not the case with civil suits. Sometimes the chats are really, really good. Bryce, a.k.a. Master of Chill, says, if Trump had those Cheney lawyers, he would have been fine by now. Oh, yes. Yes, he probably would have. Brian Kemp and a lot of the rest of them, they are complicit in this. I truly believe that. Okay. Not enough to where I would make an accusation directly. Not yet. But everything I've seen points to the likelihood that they were and are still involved in this. I think there's one more story I wanted to cover. Oh, yes. Darn it, I jumped the gun. I did. I got to get better. I got to practice this better. I'm not doing a good job of practicing it, because I actually moved on to the next story without even mentioning that I was moving on to the next story. Burden of Proof. This is a great one from American Greatness. Really good article by Roger Kimball. Okay, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Good stuff there. I recommend reading. I'm not going to read it to you. I'll read a part. There's actually a part I should probably read. Let me find that real quick. It was pretty darn good, what it say. So first, again, he noted the narrative changes. First, immediately after the election, after it appeared that there was massive voter fraud, the narrative from Democrats and mainstream media and big tech was there is no voter fraud. There was no voter fraud. There was no voter fraud. Less than a week later, they're saying, well, okay, so yeah, there's voter fraud, but there wasn't widespread voter fraud. You can't say that there was widespread voter fraud. It was just voter fraud, but it's always voter fraud. This wasn't widespread voter fraud. Fast forward less than a week. Well, okay. Yeah, so the voter fraud was pretty damn widespread. But there wasn't enough widespread voter fraud to change the election. And now the narrative, according to Mr. Kimball, is that, yes, there was voter fraud. Yes, it was widespread. Yes, it does appear it may have been enough to sway the election, but it's too late. We got Safe Harbor Day coming up. That's what they say. And I will talk about Safe Harbor Day in a minute, but I want to read from Kimball's article briefly. It says, if the, let me scroll down real quick. I should probably get to the part on here. Oh, that's the wrong story. Stand by. Again, this is brand new to this stuff. Stand by. Bear with me. You won't be able to read it because I think it's just too thin, but I will put it up just in case you can. Oh yeah, you can. Good stuff there. Let me get clear the message out. All right. So, but for the audience, the listening and not watching audience, I will read it for you. If the legislative and legal powers being asked to scrutinize the election acquiesce on the narrative and reject Donald Trump, I believe that the quote unquote process they affirm will be that process through which the election was manipulated and then stolen. It will be an affirmation of illegitimacy in the guise of principled face saving, a la Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger. The real goal, unstated but omnipresent, is to make sure that no one like Donald Trump can ever again be elected. They might just succeed in that. The cost will be the further, perhaps fatal, undermining of our electoral system's legitimacy. I understand, of course, that for the Democrats and their flacks, the issue is not legitimacy, but control. It used to be that we'd have an election, often hard-fought, when one side would win, the other side would lose. The losing side would accept the results partly because it had faith in the fundamental fairness of the system, partly because it assumed that everyone involved maintained an underlying allegiance to the American way of life. Despite our differences, we were all Americans in it together. The faith in fairness has been shattered beyond recovery, and the assumption of anything like a shared consensus seems more and more like a naive pretense when it isn't just a cynical Hustings gambit. Very well said. I probably have to look some of those words up, but but still, very well said. Good evening, Faith. Faith popped on there. Popped on the chat. Anybody just listening to that probably thinks I pulled a Nancy Pelosi. Good morning. Sunday morning. It is true. It's true that there is and cannot be faith in our electoral process as long as this stands. Now, if they can prove that the election was fair enough, they can't prove that it's fair. Okay. It is beyond the possibility of proving it was fair. But if they can prove that it was fair enough, in other words, if they can wiggle out of Pennsylvania and cover up Arizona and obfuscate all of the Republican power in Georgia and pretend like Michigan didn't exist, if they can do all of that, then yes, they will end up winning this election, but there will be zero faith in our electoral system. And it's not just from Republicans or right-leaning independents. Democrats will have to know. They do. They already know that the cheating was rampant, widespread, and they just have to make it, just a little bit longer, they think. They just got to make it to January 20th. Well, first they think they have to make it to December 8th, Safe Harbor Day, 6 days prior to the vote by the electors that is codified. But within that codification, there is a loophole, which I alluded to earlier, but I'll go ahead and mention it again for those who came on late. Justice Samuel Alito accepted the petition by U.S. Representative Kelly in Pennsylvania. Now, the petition itself is kind of weak because essentially it's saying, hey, they did not have the right to push absentee ballots the way they did. Okay, it's very clearly in the law. They made the decision at the bureaucratic level, and they did not have the power to do that. They should have gone through the legislature as the state constitution dictates. They broke the constitution. Now the problem there is that they established that they were breaking the Constitution months ago. And according to the Supreme Court, they're like, look, if you guys had a problem with this, you could have and should have brought it up back then instead of waiting for your guy to lose before bringing it up. And they have a point. Okay. This should have been brought up before. I'm actually annoyed that it wasn't brought up before. Should have been stopped in its infancy. Then Pennsylvania wouldn't have even been in play. But it was. And that's the Republicans' fault. But point being is that now that it is in the hands of the Supreme Court, Alito accepted the petition. So they're going to look at it and see if it is valid. But here's the thing. He did push and allow the response from the defendants, in this case, the state of Pennsylvania. He allowed them until December 9th to respond. That's peculiar for an emergency petition. Most emergency petitions take 2 or 3 days. That's how much time is given, depending upon the size of the petition. That's how much time is given for a response. He allowed it to go on beyond Safe Harbor Day. Now, a lot of people, Washington Post, I believe, and others, interpreted this as, oh, they're just not serious. They don't even want to, Supreme Court doesn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. I saw some on the right saying this. I didn't hear many, but I did see Red State and Legal Insurrection and Tim Pool all echo something that I had posted yesterday, which is, this certainly sounds like a trap to me. I think it is. I think that this is a trap because the code, as it's written by Congress, pertaining to Safe Harbor Day, the code says that the electors are essentially safe as long as there are no contests that are still pending. This contest is going to be pending on Safe Harbor Day. It's going to get wiped. To me, he's buying them time. Now, he may or may not, depending upon their response, he may or may not side with the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. He may actually side with Representative Kelly. I hope he does. They should, because it is unconstitutional, regardless of whether or not they brought up the timing does not change whether or not something is unconstitutional. It was unconstitutional, period. Okay. Should they have brought it up earlier? Absolutely. They didn't, so no big deal. We'll fix it now. Matthew Brown says, I think the pressure is mounting for these states, and the domino effect is starting to take place. I will agree that there is going to be a domino. That's why I'm still at 85 to 90%. People say there's these deadlines, okay? First they say it's, December 8th, Safe Harbor Day. We can debunk that. Then they say it's December 14th, which is when the electors meet to vote. Okay, you can claim that. It's not necessarily true. It can be contested through the Supreme Court all the way through, technically, indefinitely, if we really want to get down to it. But we'll say that the likelihood of them interfering ends approximately January 20th. Up until then, it is fair game. Now, I had done a show earlier yesterday. I told the story, and this is for Bible believers. If you're not a Bible believer, no big deal. Maybe you'll learn something. If you are a Bible believer, hopefully you're familiar with the name Gideon. Gideon was a warrior for God. He was a judge. If you're unfamiliar with him, you can find him in Judges chapter 6 through 8. God, or the angel of the Lord, technically speaking, instructed Gideon to gather an army and go take on the Midianites. They were substantial. They were a huge army. Huge. But he was able to collect through the various tribes approximately 32,000 men to fight. But when the angel of the Lord, or God, whichever one you want to attribute it to, looked at this, he said, you know what? Even though we're still vastly outnumbered, if we win, people will still think, 32,000 men, I could see that. It was probably good strategy, good leadership, stronger men, better weapons, whatever. They won't take this as God brought this about. So he said, you know what? Go ahead and send home anybody who doesn't want to be here. If they don't want to fight, don't make them fight. So Gideon said, okay, if you guys, anybody who doesn't want to fight, go ahead and you go home. And approximately 22,000 of them did, left 10,000 men. God looked at it and said, you know what? There's still too many. Still a chance that they might think, you know, that these men and the people who hear of this story, they might think that these 10,000 Israelites were able to beat hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million adversaries. Yeah, they'll say, it's a great strategy, good generals, better weapons, better, stronger men, whatever. So he needed to whittle it down even further. So he did something peculiar. Who am I to say whether it's peculiar or not, if God says to do it, but it ended up working, of course, as it always does. But he said, take the men down to the river and have them drink, and then separate them based upon whether or not they lap up their water from directly from the river like a dog, or if they use their hands to cup the water and bring it up to their face to drink. And approximately 300 men lapped it up like a dog. He said, all right, that's your army. Tell the other 9,700 men that drank like actual normal people and not like dogs, tell them to go home. We're gonna go take on the Midianites, this massive army, with these 300 men. And then you will know, and everybody else will know, that this was God's victory, not man's victory. When all is said and done, I'm not saying that God is going to make Trump win. If that's God's will, then he can do it. Okay. If that's not his will, then he won't. And then we move forward and figure out what to do from there. But I will say this, that seeing so many conservatives out there not participating, such as the aforementioned Nikki Haley or Raffensperger or the people, you know, all these various media outlets, Washington Examiner, Daily Caller, all these so-called conservatives who have turned their back on President Trump, who have not aggressively acted against voter fraud, actively tried to call it out, actively acted as lawmakers are supposed to do, with their oath being to defend the Constitution. They should be making this not just their top priority. This should be their only priority. I mean, I'm just an average American citizen. I am a legal immigrant. I love this country. I came to this country. I love it. I will fight for it. I will fight to defend the Constitution. I am not an elected official. But if I were, I would be out there, and this would be my only priority. There are millions of Americans like me. Maybe you guys were born here. I wasn't. But I'm still going to fight. And they should be too. But what has this done? What if this was easy? What if there was no voter fraud? Or not enough? What if they said, you know what? We've done a lot of voter fraud, and we're still going to get our butts kicked. So just accept that we'll get them in 2022. And we'll try to impeach them. We'll do this, you know. Instead, they said, it's the landslide's a lot bigger than we thought. We have to push further. In a way, I'm glad they did, because this has exposed not just the Democrats, not just mainstream media, not just big tech, but it has exposed many on our quote-unquote team, many Republicans, many so-called conservatives, many news outlets, exposed them for what they really are. So we'll see. We have learned a lot. And yes, I do pray every day that President Trump wins. And I know for sure that if it is God's will for him to win, that he will win. That's how God's will works. Thy will be done. But if he doesn't, that too is God's will. We have to be ready to react. We don't react until we know. Right now, our hearts tell us that President Trump won, the Constitution is under attack, that a coup attempt is in progress, so we fight. And we keep fighting until the fight is done, period. We don't just stop if we think that he's probably going to lose. Hopefully most of you feel as I do, that he's probably going to win. But if you don't, that's no excuse to stop. If you believe that this nation is under attack, you fight. If this nation were under physical attack, and it looked like, say, Chinese armies were coming through, would you say, I guess we're, you know, I kind of like egg rolls, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, we can, I know, I heard Chinese is a hard language. We can learn it. We have the internet as long as we're allowed to still have it. I know it'll be censored under China, you know, but man, there's so many of them. They're probably going to win, you know, no, you wouldn't. Most of you, I hope, I pray, wouldn't. Most of you would fight. Most of you would never accept Chinese rule if they were to invade this nation. So why would you accept it now? And I ask this not just of you listening. I ask this of senators, congressmen, governors, even mayors. Why would you accept it without fighting? Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong. Stay safe, and God bless. Uh-huh.